All right, 7:44 at WGCL. Glass in the morning. Thank you for being with us. It is the morning after Indiana basketball, so we check in live with a jet-lagged and weary Joe Smith here on a Wednesday morning. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Beam me up. Beam me up, Glassy.
You got it, buddy. We've got hot coffee on the burner. We've got, you've got a warm pillow and a blanket waiting for you here in about 8 minutes. So let's get right to it. The Hoosiers, Joe, needed to switch the momentum in their season. A road victory would have done that. They had a chance to tie late. They had a chance throughout the final 5 minutes to put some separation between them in Maryland, and the simple answer is they didn't get it done. It was a good basketball game. The result wasn't what Indiana was looking for. Hoosiers dropped to 1-3 in league play as Robert Johnson's three at the buzzer in and out, and Maryland wins 75-72.
Well, you know, inside of 4 minutes in a back and forth second half where there were six lead changes and four ties, and with James Blackman Jr. canning that three, at the 3:55 mark, it gave Indiana a 68-66 lead. The last thing that crossed your mind, maybe my mind, sadly for the Hoosier fans, it would be the last field goal until OG Anunoby slammed that one with 9 seconds to play. An unfortunate drought that cost the Hoosiers of Coach Tom a tough 75-72 road loss before over 17,000 at the Xfinity Center in College Park, Maryland last night. The drought consisted, though, of only three shot attempts during the silent 3:46 for Indiana. Two Juwan Morgan free throws gave Indiana a 70-68 lead with 2:02 to play, but freshman Kevin Herter delivered the dagger with a three with 1:48 to play, and then after OG missed a half minute later, Herter then tipped out a rebound of fellow freshman Anthony Cowan, who laid it in at the other end, 73-70 with 1:13 to play, but still some chances. While OG slammed that dunk with 9 seconds to play, Mello Tremble then extinguished all hope with two free throws with 8 seconds to play, and Robert Johnson's three from the left wing caromed off the rim, and that was that. Maryland 15-2. Tied for first with three others as we begin this fresh week in the Big Ten at 3-1, have won now 7 times by 6 points or less. Coach Tom, though, disappointed as he was, told us post-game that he loved his team's fight and proud of the way his team battled in that tough atmosphere that we faced last night, but he shied away from the free throw disparity in this rough-and-tumble physical Big Ten road game. There were only 31 total fouls, mind you. Indiana whistled for 16, but Maryland hit 11 of 12 from the line in the second half, Indiana 5 for 6. And for the game, the Terps canned in 18 of 22. Indiana finished 8 of 9. That's a plus 10 right there if you're into stats. Blackman did go over the 1,000-point career milestone with that three. That gave Indiana its biggest lead of the game, 55-50 at the 12:09 mark of the second half, the ninth Tom Crean player to reach that milestone and the 50th all-time. J.B. Jr. finished with 22. He had 13 in the second half, but only Robert Johnson joined him in double figures on Tuesday night, finishing with 13. Maryland won the balance war here as they placed 4 in double figures, led by Mello Tremble's 18. Herter had 9 of his 11 in the second half to key the win, and Cowan had 8 of his 15 in the second half as well. The 1-3 Hoosiers now will host Rutgers Sunday at noon on the McCracken court. Rutgers is 0-4, struggling. They play host to Northwestern on Thursday night. Meanwhile, Terry Moran's women lost a tough one in Ann Arbor last night, 78-74, trailing by a deuce with 15 seconds left when out of nowhere came an Amanda Cahill travel call. And Indiana on the short end of that one. You be the judge there. The video is certainly out there for you to watch, or even if you watched it on the Big Ten Network. Michigan closed it out at the free throw line. Tough one to stomach, negating Jen Anderson, 21-12, double the 12 rebounds, a career high. Tyra Buss also had 21. Amanda finished with 13. Alexis Gassian with 12. Indiana gave it a fight like the men did, trailing by 12 in the fourth quarter, but certainly no breaks on that late whistle. They stay on the road, play at Northwestern Saturday afternoon. The Indiana women 2-2 now, 12-5 overall. Well, it was a busy Tuesday night on the high school beat. In wrestling, Edgewood got his first seniors' night win on the mats. 10 years it was. They beat North last night, 36-19, won 8 weight classes. South wrestles the Terre Haute South later tonight at 6. In girls' hoops, the losing streak is over for Jason Spears. North Cougars say goodbye to the 12-game losing streak. They play down in Mitchell. Last night, they win 60-50, get a real nice game from Abby Cannon, who had 18 points and 10 rebounds. Aaron Lillis had 16, and Hannah Allen, 10 points and 8 rebounds. Grace Holdeman scored 32, but the Lighthouse Christian girls were beaten by Southside Christian 66-53. And in the pool, seniors' night, it was a sweep for Phil Cole's South Panthers over B&L. The boys win 110-70, the girls 99-79, and the boys meet. Heck, every senior was in on a winning event or won an event, which was great to hear. Conference Indiana Championships for both city schools unfold Saturday morning at Columbus North. And Indian Creek swept Edgewood. Jacob Shunk won the diving, and Hallie Schumacher had a couple of seconds for the girls as Indian Creek beat Edgewood's boys and girls. It's a Wednesday in the zone. David Glass, your phone calls, a lot to digest here in the midweek, starting at 6 tonight.
And a tough one, Joe, for Indiana. The numbers that jump off the page that you mentioned, we've heard Indiana's claim how young they've been over the last year or two. Well, Maryland starts 3 freshmen and put all 3 of them in double figures at home. Well, Indiana's freshmen gave you 11 points total. Indiana's class, when on the road, Thomas Bryant, 6 points and 7 rebounds in 28 minutes. OG had he was 1 for 8 before his final dunk in 24 minutes. When you don't have the balance on the road, Joe, and you let other teams' young kids kill you, it's amazing Indiana was in the game that late.
Well, you hit the nail on the head in the women's game, Glass. I know you watched that game before
right.
The men, and for instance, the bench, which has been good, like Indiana's bench last night. The IU women's bench scored, what, 4 points?
4 points, that's it.
And here we sit with 2 double-figure scorers. You know, you talk about Juwan and Thomas Bryant, 3 of 10 shooting between them, only 12 points between them, 12 rebounds between them, but they played 30 minutes each. So, you know, the bench, even though it outscored Maryland's bench 16-14 last night, still only 9 assists and the the second chance points, not as many as I thought, especially with 15 rebounds. It was a weird night for stats. That one fooled me with 15 rebounds and getting only 11 second chance points. A lot of that came early when Indiana struggled, Glass. You watched it in the first half, hit only 39% and only 38% from behind the line in that opening half, and really fortunate to only be down 39-38 at halftime.
Yeah, and James Blackman Jr., again, kept you in the ball game, kept us in the ball game, shooting it, and did so with foul trouble. And you had to play him in the first half, Joe, because you weren't making any shots. That was part of the issue. Hoosiers, again, only went into halftime down 1. It was a weird game. As Mark Turgeon pointed out in the post game, he said, every time I looked up, I couldn't believe we were only down 2 or 3 or 4. It just seemed like there was no rhythm or no flow. And in games like that, at winning time late, you see who wants to make plays. And as you mentioned it, the 3:55 mark, that was Indiana's last field goal until 9 seconds left. You've got to have ways to get players into position to make plays, and you've got to find ways, especially on the road. At home, you get it's a little bit easier with the crowd and everything else, but that's a tough road to hoe there. Again, Rutgers will get you back in shape on Sunday at noon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Here on the Big Ten Network. All right, we'll get inside the numbers at 8:45 and take a look maybe a little bit forward at the Indiana's upcoming schedule and to see if they can get this train back on track. 1-3 is not the end of the world, not with 14 more Big Ten games to go. But they can't get to 2-6, Joe, and expect anything to start moving in the right direction. They need to start with 2 wins starting Sunday, and we'll get with that coming back next hour.
All righty, we'll see you then.
All right, Joe. Thanks for joining us this morning. I know you had a very, very long morning that's still continuing on all of that. All right, Joe Smith time, the morning after Hoosier Hoops here on a Wednesday morning. The Hoosiers falling to the Maryland Terrapins last night, 75-72 on the road in College Park. Robert Johnson, Indiana's One of the star backcourt players had a look to tie it at the buzzer, but his jumper from the left wing, the three-pointer, in and out, and that's how you got to your final score. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
Caffeinated?
Good morning, Joe. I'm sorry you're so sleepy.
I don't want to yawn on the air. Feel a little better, though.
That's good. That's exactly right. And the sun did come up this morning.
It is up.
And that's the good news,
I think.
And the tough news last night, though, for Indiana fans, Joe, only Indiana's second road game of the year, and it's January 10th. You just think, well, that sounds so weird to say, but it's true. But the two things we've learned on the road is Indiana hasn't won either one of them, and you don't play all your games at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. So the Hoosiers are going to have to figure out a way to get it done on the road. But they were right there in the closing minutes. They were right there for most of the second half, and obviously all the lead changes you told us about. Take us through what we saw last night in College Park.
Well, you know, one thing I'm going to hit on, and I don't know if it's part of the home court advantage in a physical league like the Big Ten, but trying to come to grips on how games are called and the ending results can be puzzling, to say the least. Just last Saturday, for instance, Indiana and Illinois combined for 49 total fouls. 28 of them were called against the Hoosiers at home, but taking advantage of the free throw line as they did, they hit 25 of 31 from the line and still got outscored by a point. There were 64 total attempts in that ball game. Last night, the Road Hoosiers in Maryland played before 17,000 plus. What I feel was a much more physical battle for 40 minutes than the Illinois game, and only 31 total fouls were called, and the Hoosiers shoot 9 total free throws. They get outscored by 10, and they wind up losing to the Terrapins 75-72, 18-8 in makes for Maryland. But looking at what they've done now in a 15-2 season, it's a script from past Indiana teams. They've hit more free throws than 17 opponents have attempted, 306 to 290, and that's updated. Now, that's always been a trademark of Coach Tom's better teams. Maryland has used that script. Obviously, it's working. I'm just trying to grasp the big picture here, and it doesn't take much to puzzle the old man these days. I mean, what am I missing here? Indiana, in comparison, through its 17 games, now 11-6 overall, the Hoosiers have made 287 free throws. Opponents have attempted 323 now that Maryland put those 22 to the rim last night. And the Hoosiers are hitting 73% plus for the year. Now, I don't know if it's the Tuesday ESPN primetimer versus, say, the late Saturday afternoon matinee or what, but it's interesting to note, too, in Indiana's Tuesday night big headliner they had with Wisconsin on January the 3rd, there were 31 total fouls called, the same as last night to the number. 16 were called on Indiana. That night, Indiana outscored Wisconsin from the line 11-9. As some of my golf buddies would lament, just saying. I'm puzzled, but I will try to chart this the rest of the year and watch very closely the goings-on from the charity line. James Blackman, Jr., not a bad two games. He had 25 and tied his career Big Ten best against Illinois, had 22 last night, went over 1,000 career points with that three-pointer that gave Indiana its biggest lead of the game at 55-50 at the 12:09 mark of the second half. That was the ninth Coach Tom player to reach the coveted milestone in the 50th all-time. JB finished with 22, had 13 in the second half, but as we mentioned, the lack of balance, Robert Johnson finishing with 13, those were the two for Indiana in double figures, while Maryland had 4, and Kevin Herter had 9 of his 11 in the second half, including that dagger 3 that he pumped in and then tipped out that rebound off a missed OG shot and gave Anthony Cowan a lay-in at the other end, and that was pretty much the ball game, as Mello Trimble did hit 2 free throws with 8 seconds to seal it, 75-72. Tough one for the Hoosiers, who are now 1-3. They can get well, though, Sunday at noon. Rutgers comes in. They're struggling. They've lost 5 in a row. They're 0-4 in the league. They play host to Northwestern on Thursday night. Mentioning whistle tooting or lack thereof, well, there was one whistled that maybe shouldn't have been. It went against Indiana, and it could have proved costly, and it probably did when it was all said and done, because the Indiana women shoot free throws very well. But anyway, trailing by two with 15 seconds left, Amanda Cahill was called for traveling. So you be the judge. As we mentioned earlier today, the video is out there for you to see it. Michigan closed it out at the line. Indiana loses 78-74, spoiling a nice game from Jen Anderson, who had a 21-point 12 double, that 12 rebounds, a career high. Indiana stays on the road, and they play at Northwestern on Saturday. Indiana now 12-5 overall, and the women are 2-2 in league play. Don't forget high school basketball coming up, Columbus East and Bloomington South. That'll be our broadcast game on Friday night from the Holmes Court as the Panthers look for their 10th victory of the year. It's a non-conference game. 7 o'clock, Chalk Talk with JR. Mentioning sports and air availability tonight in the zone. David Glass and your phone calls at 6. Maybe you guys can figure out this free throw.
Well, I got a couple deals on it, Joe. And you brought up a good point about Tuesday night ESPN and what you've known over the years, too. Number one, Wisconsin doesn't foul, and usually better teams don't, and Indiana is usually thrown into that. Illinois is just not very good, and when you got to play at their level for a little bit, there's a lot of holding and grabbing. When Indiana's running by them in fast break, when Indiana's big players are getting by their big player, it's, you got to reach out and touch someone. And good teams don't foul, and that's why I think sometimes that gets lost in a little bit of that. And you also told us as well, winning on the road in the Big Ten, it's not as hard as perceived. You had the numbers over the weekend. It was right at almost
13. It was 13-11. Now it's 14-11 home courts as we move into play tonight.
Yep, so there are, you're going to have to find some opportunities on the league as well. Tough night for the Hoosiers last night in the sense that their front court of OG Anunoby, Thomas Bryant, and Juwan Morgan, Joe, decent on the glass. I mean, game high rebound totals, but from an offensive standpoint, it was too quiet, and you can't have those three guys not give you a whole lot on the road.
5 of 19 shooting. So,
and that's not 3-point shots either. That's around the rim. That's in the lane. That's in the paint, and not getting to the free throw line. What is it? Dodd had what, 6 blocks for Maryland there? So
yeah, he did.
One man wrecking.
He had 6 rebounds, 6 points, and 6 blocks. So.
One man wrecking crew in the Maryland. 3 freshmen they start. 3 freshmen play a lot. 3 freshmen in double figures. That's a pretty nice little piece of the puzzle to have there as well.
No question about it.
Rutgers noon on Sunday, Joe. It'll be the first game back with the students at Indiana. You saw last night no students at Rutgers or at Maryland, but a loud crowd of 17,000, as you mentioned. Hopefully the hall gets rocking and Indiana gets back to their winning ways.
Well, hopefully that's the case. But, again, we look at the schedule now, and, you know, we're losing to some teams where we can't even the score, Glass, Nebraska being obviously one. And now Maryland, we don't play them.
No revenge
in the year, so no revenge there. So, you know, enough's enough. I mean, as Tom said, we've got to kind of, you know, make now the Simon Scott Assembly Hall just a fortress, you know, and make it hard for teams to breathe, as he told us on the post game last night.
You couldn't ask for a better rebound game against the Scarlet Knights. Will come in Sunday at noon.
Can. I mean, you know, obviously that looks good on paper, but, you know, you got to go out, you know, and play it. So, you know, we'll
I don't know who else
we'll
you want, Joe.
And we'll see how Rutgers plays at home against Northwestern, who's having a pretty good year. So.
If you gave me a choice of the other, how many teams are in the Big Ten now? I don't know, but I'd take Rutgers as no. I'd take Rutgers as my number one choice right now if I had to have somebody to play to get back on track. At Penn State next Wednesday will be a little bit more difficult. They've had a big win against Michigan State.
I didn't want to state the obvious. You know.
Sure. Well, that's why I'm here. I'll help you out on that. All right, good job as always. Get some rest. We'll hear you Friday night at Southside.
Take care, Joe.
All right, Margaret, have a great week.
You too.
Joe Smith, trooper, got home bright and early this morning, still made time for us, and that's what makes him a Hall of Fame and our buddy.